Agency Workers, a podcast for all temporary workers. If you're unsure of your rights, unsure how to find work, or just plain unsure, we're here to help. It's all too easy to be exploited, so your expert host, Julia Kermode, will empower you to succeed.
So welcome to today's podcast. I'm really pleased to have with me a gentleman called Wolf, and he's been affected by the loan charge, and he's agreed very kindly to share his story with us today. And so welcome, Wolf. Thank you very much for joining us. Just for the purposes of our listeners, we're actually recording this during the Christmas break, so I'm really pleased that you're able to fit it in, but I do think it's an important story to get out there, so appreciate you joining us.
No problem. Thank you for having me. I think it's good to get these stories out there because they are quite universal. It's quite a large population that's being hit by this, and a lot of them are isolated and don't know what's going on, so I'm glad to share it.
Okay, so starting really at the beginning, so I'm assuming that you had been a contractor, you might even still be a contractor, but tell us the story from where it started for you.
So my issue, my story starts in 2015, but without me being aware of it at all up until this year, in the beginning of this year.
Okay.
So in 2015, I moved over to contracting. I fluctuated between contracting and permanent over my career as consultant. And in 2015, I moved back into contracting after being permanent for a while. And then the previous times that I contracted on hourly rates or pay as you earn. It was how it was done there. So when I moved into this structure, for me, I had to find out how this is actually done. So how do you actually contract in that sense? So I had some friends who were doing it, which I reached out to, and they put me in contact with this company called... And then the COVID crisis struck. And my wife has got a hair and beauty salon. So we've got about 10 employees on that side. So our life completely collapsed in that sense, because all of a sudden we were just earning nothing and we had all these people that we were responsible for. So we went forth and we started looking for funds to get the salon sorted and to be able to pay the staff and things. And we paid 100% of our staff's wages all the way. We still do that now today, simply because we believe they need to be in the right frame of mind when things come to normal to be working. They shouldn't be stressing financially. But I mean, we've put everything at risk. Our houses, of course, everything. If this thing's collapsed, our whole life collapses. So went through that whole process. We had massive issues with bounce back loans to get access to those things originally. So it took us months to get that sorted in the end. We were about £50 away from our current credit facility. So overdrafts and everything being maxed out and us not being able to pay everything when this was came through. So right in the middle of dealing with all of that, I got a letter from HMRC saying that I owed them £50,000 and I need to pay this within 30 days.
You're kidding.
In the middle of the pandemic, complete lockdown.
That's a huge amount of money for anybody in any position, and to expect that to be paid within 30 days is just impossible for anyone, surely.
It is, and I mean, the whole absurdness of this whole thing is because they made it retrospectively, because they're throwing interest on top of it, because they're throwing fines on top of it, it exceeds any one person's yearly income. Anybody that's affected with this won't have that income unless you were a superstar and your income in the last 5 years have fivefolded from what you were earning previously.
Yeah.
And the reality of it is what's happening in the country with IR35 and stuff, most people's income has halved because of things being moved away, jobs not being there. So it's a whole group, population group that is expected to pay money far exceeding what they earn in a year, which means if you have assets, you're losing it. If you don't have assets, you're going bankrupt. And if you go bankrupt, most world jobs out there in the world at the moment, if you have bankruptcy against, you can't do it anymore. So you lose your livelihood. You won't be able to do your work. It is absolutely devastating and absurd in every way. No one can do this. No one. So that's the position I was put in. I completely collapsed when I received that, because with COVID, with our businesses and stuff, it just felt absolutely futile. I'm going to lose everything. To the extent that my hormones actually shut down, my testosterone production, everything, and I will be on hormone replacement therapy for the rest of my life because my body just went through so much stress. And I got diagnosed.
I was just going to say the stress and pressure must have been unbelievable, but I had no idea that you were going to say that about the physical side of it and the effect on your hormones. That's terrible.
Well, I've had a lot of hardship in my life. I lost my dad when I was 12 years old. I lost my granddad when I was 13. My uncle at 11. We grew up extremely poor through that process because my mom was a single mom and she had to look after us and stuff. So I've been through all of that. And even when I started my career, when I started studying, I started studying full time and I worked full time also because I had to pay it for myself. And there weren't things like grants or stuff like that. So I started working at a very young age, 14, within the institutions I did. And then when I started working full time, I organized myself a space or a job within the office next to the university so that I could run across and write the exams if it needs to, or if my friends in university, if anything popped up, I could just go over and do it. So I've always gone through all of these highly stressed situations and hardships in life. But for the first time in my life, when this thing hit, it just felt like there was no outcome out of this. Because it doesn't only, it's not a number or money you're being threatened with. It's everything. It is losing
everything you've worked so hard for.
It is losing anything you've built up in the last 20 years. It is losing your assets. It is losing your job. It is losing your livelihood. It is losing your family life. I mean, if I look at, because I'm now involved, I don't even want to say it's a community, but in effect, it's a community of victims involved in this thing.
Yeah.
And it is horrific and devastating what's happening across the board. And fairly so. It is such a extreme thing. And it's, in the best of words, it's such an absurd thing to happen in a country that's got a rule of law and that's got all this legislation where you would expect these advisors and QCs and et cetera to actually have accountability and value and what they told you. But in effect, the stance of the government is it's all your responsibility no matter what, which also, because we have other businesses and stuff, is freaking me out completely. Because every time I submit a submission for HM Revenue or anything, I don't know what the hell the impact's going to be on me unless I stop getting schooled in being an accountant or qualified accountant. And the reality of it is, because this was done retrospectively, even that doesn't count anything for you because no one knew this is the future because it was implemented in back.
Yeah.
So anyway, coming back to the 58, the month got that thing, collapsed, my hormone shut down. My personal life just went crazy with my wife and kids and stuff. Mm-hmm. I wasn't a great person to be around with. My wife's stress is out of this world because she doesn't have any understanding of it at all. And I made a decision to share this from the beginning with her just to have that candidness of what's going on with it. But a lot of victims do not actually go that route because it's so devastating. They don't want to tell their partners about what's going on. So got it, joined WTT, or went out to WTT, my current tax advisors, and went through the whole process of how I'm going to approach this and what I'm going to do. I mean, to say there's a few organizations, WTT being one, the Learn Charge Action Group being the other one, which was fundamental in to stop people losing their lives and their minds and everything. They are there for you no matter what. I mean, if you send out a call for help to any one of them at any time, someone would contact you and they would reach out to you and they would talk you through what your options are, what's going on, and their approaches. And that's been the lifesaver. It's also, I mean, for me personally, and it's not universal, but I had to mentally move this around in my mind as something that I need to fight and refocus myself to get past. So apart from the litigation that I'm currently part in across the board to try and fight this thing, which would take years, I'm also pursuing in increasing my income to the extent where I can maybe cover this. So I've created another business, which I'm trying to build out within this crisis. We're hoping that our salon actually gets back to normality sometime whenever Boris releases us again. It's been a horrific thing, and the worst thing of it is, apart from the fact that your SMEs and the people you trusted, the tax advisors, the QCs and stuff, effectively threw you to the wolves, that the government, HMRC and the Treasury, stands on this so absolutely devastating towards the victims of this thing. They just don't care. So whenever there's a discussion in Parliament, you have ministers sneering at the suicide victims of this. And if you, in effect, destroy people, you're not going to have tax receipts with it. And the simple reality of it, I always quote these things because my background originally is economics. I studied economics. And one of the things that is so astounding for me is the fact that the view or the timeline they're looking at is so specific, in the sense that they are literally quoting that they're going to get $3.5 billion in from destroying these 105,000 people's lives. But what they're not equating is that these 105,000 people are not going to earn as much as they would have earned in the next 20 to 30 years due to this, because they'll either be bankrupt and on the system, or their businesses will collapse, their jobs are collapsing. I mean, a lot of people just simply due to the stress and things are losing their jobs and stuff because they're not functioning anymore.
Yeah.
So if you equate all of those things, the losses of this is going to be billions upon billions of lost tax receipts, because you've ruined lives, and you've ruined lives as a government department. It's absurd. It's absolutely absurd.
It's just bananas. I mean, I know a reasonable amount about this subject, but just talking to you, it's a real eye opener. And you know, just to kind of build on your explanation, the loan charge is all about disguised remuneration schemes, which we talked about in this podcast series last time with Tom from WTT Consulting, actually, and he to kind of take us through the technical side. So anyone who wants to know more about that can actually listen to the previous episode and get some insights from him. But he's director of tax investigations at WTT, and so he's ex-HMRC as well, so he knows a lot about how these schemes work. But very basically, my understanding of a disguised remuneration scheme is that it pays a portion of your money through PAYE and a portion through something else that they might call a loan, or it might be something entirely different or whatever. But basically, the loan charge has said all of this income must be treated as remuneration and you must pay tax on it, and you must pay that to us in, I think, September 2020, it had to be paid over.
Some victims are getting amazing deals, if you want to say it's a deal in concept of this, but they're getting massive percentages deductions of it. They get interest rates, the fines and stuff subtracted from it. And then other people just get no leniency at all and just things added on top of it also. So there's no fairness in the whole settlement process at all. Never mind for the fact of it that people that wanted to draw a line under this and try and settle this also are experiencing massive delays, which is clearly willful. from engineering news so that they do fall into the learn charts rather than resolving this prior to it. And when I say people that settle, like I explained previously, that no one involved in this can actually pay this because it's exceeding what you would earn in a year. People are literally selling houses, selling cars, selling everything that I have, moving back into rental accommodation, just consolidating everything to get away from the stress because it's so relentless.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. If you hear some of the stories where you have HMRC officers phoning people on their birthdays just to say to them, you know, we're thinking about you. And things like that, how they are relentlessly trying to break people mentally with this to get maximum. It's just
that sounds like bullying to me.
It is.
Yeah, that's, and what's surprising is that you're almost at the mercy as to who you're talking to at HMRC then, by what you've outlined in terms of some people are getting a better deal than others. And so there doesn't necessarily seem to be a party line that HMRC is sticking to. Is that your perception?
It is. And it's also the one thing they tend to do is they manipulate everything towards them, the law or anything they do. So, for example, when I started getting my letters and WTT started engaging them, WTT started went back to them in regards to some of the final points that they've missed in opening up the inquiry. So the dates weren't accurate. The fact that it was done within COVID, there should have been someone senior that signed it off. So they were requesting some information on how these processes were followed and stuff to make sure that it's accurate and that we can't just stop the thing there. But the response we got back from the HMRC Revenue Office was that due to COVID, they're not in their offices, so he doesn't have access to any of these things. But if I do want to challenge all of these things and want to close it, I don't have to worry. They'll just throw me into the loan charge completely and I don't... And we don't have to have these discussions anymore.
Wow.
So in summary, it is okay to send me a demand that almost exceeds my yearly salary within pandemic, in the middle of the pandemic, where we're all locked down, while we have businesses which are devastated about it. Yet, when I ask you simple questions in regard to the process, you can't provide it because of COVID and the front. So it's
so unfair, and I cannot imagine the stress and the pressure you've had, and it's been a difficult enough year anyway without this kind of on top. And one of the things you were saying earlier was in relation to kind of your background coming from South Africa, and that you kind of naturally trust the institutions and the specialists, and that there's recourse there. And I think that's true of most people actually, because you know when it comes to tax and things like that, our government seems to make it our individual responsibility, but most people have very little idea about it. And you know, especially when you've got a business that is selling you something that says it's going to look after it all for you, because when you are running your own limited company or as a, you know, working for yourself, then there is quite a lot of stuff that goes around that admin wise and finance wise. So I can totally understand how a company, you know, would be attractive that says it will look after all that for you, and you've got no real reason to kind of question it, especially as someone who's here from South Africa, who, you know, you might not necessarily know what a normal tax position would be on your income. So I do have quite a lot of sympathy there, and I think that the government presents this as being well they should have known. Well, how can you know?
Clearly the advisors didn't even know. So people whose jobs this is to be experts in it didn't even know this, yet they're not being pursued with this at all. The promoters who ran away with all of this money, they're not being pursued at all. In fact, they're just getting PPE contracts to extend their wealth through the crisis. So the people that I were involved with got a 220 million PPE contract assigned to them for a company that was a vehicle that they created that was a month old.
Yeah.
So me as a citizen, sitting here, I'm being pursued relentlessly to the extent where it could bankrupt and ruin my life completely. And then the people who sold this to me are just being handed out money by the same exact same government, saying that in effect they don't have any responsibility in this context, but I do. So the people who can actually pay this, no responsibility, and the people who can't are being victimized and pursued to ruin.
The person who you're talking about is well known within this industry. I'm not going to name them on this, but I know exactly what you're talking about there. And the government is well aware of these individuals and the names that are known to us within the industry. However, they are completely unable to link them to these schemes, and that's just an extra kick in the teeth, especially when you see the PPE contracts, etc., that have kind of gone out. Angry obviously doesn't come close. I would think, well, I don't know, anger is probably a pointless emotion for this stuff, but I just can't imagine the impact on you.
It's crazy, and You get people have all got different views, because the government has used so many BI nuggets to try and throw us in this category like tax avoiders and things like that, which is completely untrue. It is terms created by the government to make us look like criminals rather than just normal people pursuing it. And the reality of it is currently the majority of people being pulled into the schemes are NHS workers that's returning for the crisis. And these schemes are still running rampant. I think we've had 30,000 people, according to the government, that's been involved in this year. So, I mean, in essence, what the government's supposed to be doing, protecting its citizens and et cetera, they're doing the exact opposite. They're pursuing us and ridiculing us. What they should be doing is creating laws and creating structures and stuff which can protect us and start stopping this nonsense from happening.
One of the things that the government do say is that, you know, people shouldn't be going bankrupt because of this, they're not losing their houses, etc. But from what you're saying, that doesn't seem to be your experience kind of from the others in Loan Charge Action Group, etc. So
what they're doing with that is just shows you the culture of HMRC. So what they're doing with these statements that they're making, so they say they don't bankrupt anyone, but what they do is they go to the High Court and get or go to debt collectors who then bankrupt you for them.
Right. So they're not doing it.
No, because they've got a third party outsourced for it. But I mean, so if you're a corporation, if you hire a hit squad to go take out your opposition with it, if you take this logic and say, well, it wasn't me that assassinated my competition and decided it was this third party consultancy group that I used for that. So I don't have any responsibility for this at all. Which in the private sector won't happen. You will be prosecuted and pursued with this. But in context of this, they keep on doing this. They keep on having these layers. It's not our responsibility because it was this third party that does the bankruptcy. It's not us that take people's houses. It is this debt management company that we hired that does that. So it's just insanity. And for me, every time I hear these nuggets now and I see these things in government, it feels like they truly believe we're absolute idiots and that they can just use these explanations to keep control over us and just keep us at bay. It's just the weirdest thing as a grown-up, as a citizen to experience.
Yeah, they do kind of paint a picture of anyone caught in these schemes as kind of having done it deliberately somehow and being kind of a tax avoider sort of thing having somehow defrauded the exchequer and actually that's not the case, is it?
Well, there's two points on it. I mean, the first point is 105,000 people didn't willfully avoid the tax. No. simple fact that it's that number of people indicates that there's a structural issue with our tax system, and that 105,000 people fell victim to the structural issue within the tax system. Mm-hmm. You can't say 105,000. It's just an absurd statement. It doesn't make any sense on that. And then in context of what the exchequer got, it's again twofold. It's one, it's not the case that we didn't pay any taxes at all. And if you start equating it, the differences aren't as significant, especially if you incorporate the fact that it's from lower to middle class. A lot of the lower end scale of the people falling victim to this is no better off at all with this. They paid the exact same amount that they would have if they were using normal pay-as-you instruction stuff. Yet now they've got this additional funds or additional money thrown on top of it. And then you get things like they put in these limits that if you earn under 75,000, they'll give you a better tip stuff, which in essence is also not treating everybody fairly, because why should that be the indication? The law should be the thing that dictated this. Yeah. And the pursuit of it. So it's all over it. It's just nuggets of people being treated unfairly across the board, being pursued across the board. And the reality of it is where the essence of the problem is not being solved and pursued. The government's not pursuing promoters. They're not doing anything to stop this properly. And that is where the energy should have gone. That is where, if this was deemed the bigger issue, I mean, the bigger issue in my sense is the fact that we've got big corporations just siphoning billions out of this country in tax and stuff, which is not being pursued by government at all. But that being set aside, in this example, you're pursuing the wrong people.
Yeah. With
it. And I know you mentioned previously, like, how would you would trust these tax advisors and stuff. It's this picture on social media going around, which always sticks in my head. And it's a picture of the 2021 tax law that came through with it. And it's a stack like this.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
you can just imagine who are they expecting every citizen to read through a 3-foot stack of tax law?
It's
to know what.
It's incredible. I was talking to an accountant, and actually the UK's tax legislation fills more pages, if you like, than the whole works of Shakespeare. So how on earth are citizens supposed to be able to cope with apparently being responsible for their own tax? I mean, it's huge. So in terms of kind of how does your experience fit with others? So the kind of tax bill that you mentioned earlier was in the region of £50,000. But my understanding is that there's some people who are getting bigger tax bills. Where does it kind of sit? What's the kind of scale?
So, I mean, that 50K was just the first probing from then, but what it will end up for me being, it would be about £200,000 in total. Gosh. If it's all done, if I completely fail in stopping this at all. I have not heard of a person in the groups that I've dealt with that's paying less than £90,000 in total. That's just my observation of it. It's not to say what's out there, but the numbers. I mean, there's this calculation Andy Chaplin did on LinkedIn the one day where he was talking about the amount of money that they brought in and the amount of money going out. And if you just look at that calculation, what they brought in, I think the average was £130,000 for the people that's already settled. That's brought in like £650 million or something like that. But it is not. It's just simply because. It's very simple if you think about it logically. The fact is, because they left it so long and because they did it retrospectively, if you think about it percentage terms, it will exceed any individual who is involved in this percentage of what they've earned over a year in any instance because of the timing of it and being retrospective and the interest and the fines being thrown on top of it. So the only individuals who financially would be able to walk away from this to the extent would be ones that managed to exceed their income many times over the last 5 years. So if you've managed to create Facebook or something in the last 5 years, you probably have enough money to cover this.
It's not good at all, especially right now. I mean, nobody really foresaw the pandemic and the economic impact of that. But right now, it just seems a bit wrong on so many levels to be pursuing our workforce and our citizens unreasonably. And something that you did say that I hadn't really realized, and again, I think I know about this stuff, right? But I hadn't realized that actually some people affected by these schemes haven't actually benefited financially from them. So what I mean by that is that the government likes to portray that, oh yeah, well, you got rich, you weren't paying tax on your income, and you know, you've had all this money tax free, and therefore you owe us, sort of thing. And that's one way they like to present their arguments. But you said that's not necessarily the case, and that actually, you know, your levels of income weren't reflective of avoiding tax, if you like. I don't mean to put words in your mouth, but I'm just checking that I had understood.
It is. It's actually mentioned in one of the Lord's evidence sessions by George Turner. So you can actually get a snippet of it where he was talking about it. And it is the case. If you're in the lower end of income, there wouldn't have been a difference in what you got. And the problem you have with a lot of people were forced into these schemes by their employers. So when you get the contract role, and the NHS is actually one of the examples of it, they told you that you need to work for this umbrella company, and the umbrella company just implemented your structure. So if you're a nurse walking around, what is the chances that you would ever know or understand that the umbrella company which your employer forced you to use is using a structure that, according to HMRC, doesn't work, and that you'll be pursued for money afterwards? It is cruel.
How much does it go on where you're forced into one of these schemes?
It happens frequently. I don't have the numbers with me. It's something that you can actually get. I think Alcat has got some, has got a lot of information on it. But it does happen frequently. And I think the best way to explain it, one of the things that HM Revenue was called out on was the fact that they actually used contractors on these schemes up until 2019. Yeah. And when they were confronted about this at the Lords, their argument about it was that they send out their criteria to these agencies, and then it's up to the agencies to do that. But once they identified it, they got rid of all the contractors in 2019. Mm-hmm. So it was clear from 2010, but yet 2019, they got rid of all of these contractors with it. But they haven't gotten rid of any of these agencies that's done it. They're also still supplying for HM Revenue. There was nothing done in regards to that. And that's by their own admission within the Lord's evidence session the other day. So it's happening to the extent, but no one's taking responsibility for it. The employers that's using these agencies are not taking responsibility for it. The agencies are not taking responsibility for it. The promoters are not taking responsibility for it. The only people that are, well, I don't want to say we are taking responsibility, but only people being pursued are the victims. Completely, yeah. That's all.
That I'm seriously surprised about that. And again, I'm sorry to harp on, but I think I know about this stuff. And it really is an eye opener. And for me, I expect recruitment agencies to do their due diligence on the partners that they work with, whether it's an umbrella company or whatever partner it is. And so they're making recommendations to their workers as to who ultimately will pay them and employ them. And that's massive. That's their workers' income. That's a huge amount of money that they've essentially got control over. So you would think there's a moral duty, if nothing else, to do the due diligence and to only work with trusted partners. But what you've just said is that some of those agencies within HMRC were known to HMRC as putting people in touch with the dodgy schemes, and they're still there. I don't know why I'm shocked. I sort of feel like I should know better, but I'm obviously a bit deluded in kind of my thinking around this.
I mean, if you're really bored, if you watch any of the Lord's evidence sessions, which is, I mean, unless you're being pursued by this to the extent, you won't be very excited about it. But I mean, the amount of things that surfaced from that, just from the interrogation from the Lords to HMRC and stuff, it's just shocking.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole culture in the view, and it is a cultural issue. It's a disconnect from HR and revenue, understanding what entrepreneurs and people in this country are doing to move us forward. We're just being seen as people to pursue, and they deem everybody as we're all enemies of the state.
It's horrific, actually. And I did want to cover off the suicides, and I know we probably can't say too much about them, other than we know that it is linked to being pursued by for the loan charge. And when you talk about the amounts of money involved, and you consider the fact that some people don't share this with their partners or families because of shame or whatever it might be, then I can well understand how the mental distress can lead you to that point. And you know, I this is where I think the work of the Loan Charge Action Group is absolutely critical. And I've kind of followed them for a number of years. And, you know, I remember sort of a few years ago they were sort of pleading almost and saying, you know, they're getting calls from people that they're not qualified really at that point in time to sort of advise and support, because the mental distress on people ringing them was so extreme. And you know, I think what I will most certainly do is in the show notes that go with this episode, I will put in obviously the Loan Charge Action Group's contact details for anyone that is struggling. But I guess you've been part of that group then. I mean, was that one of the first ports of call when you found out about this?
It was. They I mean, in the simplest way of the word, they've saved my life.
Yeah.
Originally, I was in an extremely dark place, and when you type it in, loan charge and stuff like that in Google and stuff, they're one of the first ones that popped up. And I contacted them in there. I got a lady contacting me there and talked me off the ledge for a couple of hours originally with this.
Wow.
Explaining there are options. Because the thing about these HMRC nuggets, or how they structure these letters and stuff, it is structured in a way, the wording, that there seems to be no hope at all.
Mm.
You simply can't get out of this, according to that letter. But once you talk to the action group, they talk you down. They explain you grab some of the good things in your life, and you start emphasizing that, and you get some specialists like WTT and stuff. You understand there is a chance to fight this, and you fight on. Where we will be in the next couple of years, who knows? I'm just hoping and praying that something reasonable comes out of this soon.
Yeah.
It's just devastating such a big part of the population. It's just not fair. But the Loan Charge Action Group are the guys that will help you, that would save you. So I would say, if anyone has any fears about this or thoughts or anything, just reach out to them and they'll sort you out. They'll help you. And just to add on that, the absurdness of this whole thing is the Loan Charge Action Group is victims helping victims. Mm-hmm. It's not a government organization. It is not something being put in place by the Treasury, which you would have expected, given the amount of devastation that came from this. At some stage, someone would understand, obviously, well, we need to support this group of people, even though we're the pursuers of them. But it's victims helping victims. And, I mean, the people in that group that's saving people, and I've seen many, many examples and experienced my own with it, they're just absolute saints. Yeah. People that are devastated by this also and have been hit by this, but actually helping people get past it, and just that community sense of it, and everybody standing together, it's been fundamental for me to mentally get across this thing and to move forward and fight it. Without it, I wouldn't have.
Yeah, I think knowing that you're not alone must be a comfort in itself. So, and it is purely run by volunteers, I think, isn't it? So,
yes.
It's a fantastic group. Is there anything you wanted to add? I mean, I was going to ask you something. What would you say to the scheme promoters? But that just sounds so twee in a way and insulting. But you know, is there any kind of final bit that you want to say to finish off with?
I think for me, the optimal situation or a result of this would be for the government to listen and to actually start working towards building a better tax system and start working towards protecting people from this. Because if you think about things like the PPI scandal back in the day with bank stuff, I mean, that thing was just, it was billions, but it was paid out and victims were remunerated. In this instance, victims aren't remunerated, they or get their money back, they're actually being pursued. So I just hope if anybody with any influence on the government ever listens to this, just the realization that we're real people and we're at the end of it, and you guys need to start protecting citizens and changing them. And not only for us, but for everybody in the future that's getting involved in this today, that's being pulled into these schemes today. They need to be working towards stopping it, and they're not.
Yeah,
they're not doing it.
They do always say that they are, but we don't see any evidence of that, do we? So
zero promoters have been pursued. There's nothing. They quote things like they're now working with the advertising standard. They've started now in 2020. After 20 years of this, it's not good enough. It's really not good enough. And to try and use that as a justification that you actually pursue and promote is absurd. And to be reasonable with this, given what we discussed previously about the complexity of the tax system within the UK, this whole thing shouldn't be pursued in this way at all. It should be a redesign of the structure and the systems and stuff to protect people. You shouldn't be pursuing anyone in the back of this, because it's just too ambiguous. It doesn't make any sense and people don't understand it, and it's just not fit for purpose.
Yeah, completely agree with you. Well, listen, thank you so much for your time this morning. I really appreciate it, especially as it's kind of festive season, and I mean, you know, there's no escape for it for you anyway, I don't suppose, but I really, really appreciate your time, so thank you, Wolf, really do.
Cool, thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to Empowering Agency Workers, hosted by Julia Kermode. For more information on today's discussion, please visit iwork.co.uk, where you can also join our growing community. We hope you enjoyed today's episode, and if you did, then we would love you to subscribe, rate, and review our podcast. We'll be back at the same time next week.